Greetings, dear church, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though there's not a lot of us here today, we still can study the Word of God together. So whoever has their Bibles and wants to follow along, please open up. If you remember, we started a new series in the study of the letter of Philippians. Last time, we looked at a short introduction, the first 11 verses. And today I would like to continue the next few verses here that Apostle Paul shares to encourage this church in Philippi to continue in the way they started. This is the one church that Paul gives a lot of encouragement and doesn't really rebuke them a lot, but he just gives a lot of encouragement to continue the joy in the joy of the Lord. And I titled this, the whole series in the study of Philippians, To Live as Christ. And how the only way we can have joy when we have difficult situations is when we live for Christ. The only way we can have joy in spite of persecutions is when we live for Christ. The only way we can have joy in spite of death, which is what Paul talks about a little bit later, is to live for Christ. So to live is Christ. And today I would like to share another very encouraging message from the verses that we'll read together. And I titled my sermon, How God Can Make Good Out of Evil. How God Can Make Good Out of Evil. And this is what Apostle Paul talks about in these next few verses. So let's read from verses 12 to 18. Philippians 1:12, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of my brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. So here we see in these few verses about Paul's imprisonment, and he talks about the blessings he had from this situation. So I titled my sermon, How Can We Make Good Out of Joy? How Can We Make Good Out of Evil? And we see, how can Paul have joy in this kind of situation where he's constantly chained to a Roman guard, and constantly moved from one place to another one imprisonment to another. But we see the only way he could have this joy is because he was walking with Christ. For him to live was Christ. And he had the mind of Christ. And that's why he was able to have this joy. So this verses that we read, we can separate it into two sections. The first, verse 12 to 14, and then verses 15 to 18. So I would like to just have two main points today to share with you, to encourage us, that God always wants to work good out of what goes on in our lives. So the first thing I wanted to share with you is, how can our difficulties advance God's kingdom? How can our difficulties advance God's kingdom? This is what we see in verse 12. He says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. So by focusing on the progress of the gospel, we'll be able to advance God's kingdom. So Paul challenges us to view our difficulties in light of how they contribute to the kingdom of God. So Paul could have took a negative approach to all that was going on with him. Like many prisoners probably near him that were chained, they had grumblings, they were complaining, but Paul looked at this whole situation in light of the gospel, which is the gospel was being preached even while he was in prison. He wasn't allowed to travel freely. He wasn't allowed to do a lot of things, but Paul lived for the gospel. That's why he was able to rejoice. So even though Paul's imprisonment seemed like a setback to a lot of people, even the Philippian church that were, they sent Epaphroditus to support him, to give him a gift, and they were really worried about Paul, but even in this situation, Paul gloried that the gospel was being preached. So the Lord ordained Paul to be imprisoned specifically in Rome. Now, if we remember, Apostle John was exiled to Patmos. That was an island that there was nobody around. It was a total deserted place. There wasn't a lot of influence. So if Paul was exiled into a place like Patmos, he wouldn't be able to have this influence. But Paul was sent to the capital of the Roman Empire, to where all the influential people wanted to be. So that's how God was able to turn out this situation where Paul was imprisoned for his glory, because he was able to spread the gospel to the political leaders of that time, because every time somebody was chained to him, he was able to spread the gospel to them. And it seemed like, how else could have Paul had this influence on those in such high ranks unless he was imprisoned and unless he was speaking directly to those guards, the guards that were constantly watching him? So he is confident that God is able to work out to the best of his situation. And he believes that you can have the best witness in our worst circumstance, because that's when we really, our true colors come out, is when we have a difficult situation. And an example I would like to give from the Old Testament is Joseph. And this example gives us assurance that this is long before Apostle Paul. In the Old Testament, God also used evil for good, even from, if we look at Job. But let's look at the example of Joseph for a minute. Joseph didn't do anything wrong. He loved his father, he loved his brothers, but his brothers hated him, so they sold him to slavery. He endured so much difficulties, but Joseph was able to continue in serving God no matter where he was. And then we know he was falsely accused, and he was in prison. And then even in prison, he was forgotten by the one person that he said, "Please don't forget me," because he gave a good interpretation of the dream. So all this turned out to be, it seemed like it was the worst possible thing that could happen to him. But we know that when God turned everything around in a very short time, and he became a very high ruler of Egypt. So we see that God used Joseph's situation to further the gospel, even though we know the gospel didn't happen for many thousands of years later. But we know that God's plan is to start, even though Joseph lived way before the gospel, just like Joseph looked ahead to the gospel, so we look back to the gospel. So we know that God used Joseph's situation so that Israel might be born, so that Jesus could be born from that line and then become the salvation for all humankind. So God used Joseph's situation for his glory. And we also see that even in our situation, we sometimes, God can use painful situations, painful circumstances to advance his kingdom, advance his gospel. So maybe some of you have a job that you do not like, and you say to yourself, "I cannot imagine working in this place for 20, 30 years. Maybe God doesn't want you to work there for 20 years, but maybe the 1 or 2 years that you're there, he really wants you to be an influence to that, maybe the 1 or 2 people there that will never hear about God, about how much he loves them. So he chained you to that person, maybe not physically like Paul was chained to the Roman guards, but he chained you to a person in your work because you are in one location and you could influence them in a positive way. So God is using that situation to further the gospel. Maybe in your school, you do not like people in your school. Maybe in your neighbors. Sometimes maybe we have bad neighbors and there's no way to really distance ourselves from our neighbors because they're so close to us, but maybe God wants us there to influence them, just like Paul was influencing those Roman guards constantly for the sake of the gospel. So how can our difficulties advance God's kingdom? The second thing is by learning to use any circumstance to spread the gospel. And that's what Paul did. Even in his difficulties, he spread the gospel. Paul learned to preach a new sermon every 6 hours because they had a rotation between the Roman guards, the highest guards in Rome, the ones that actually were always in the presence of Caesar. They were the highest military presence, the whole palace guard, as Paul uses here. They were the ones that Paul was influencing. He was constantly preaching to them. And while in house arrest, he constantly made reference to the cause of Jesus Christ. And the Roman soldiers, no doubt, might have asked, why are you in chains when you have no evil intention? The people saw that Paul wasn't a criminal. He wasn't in prison because he did something evil. So this caused curiosity in people, and this was another reason for Paul to share the gospel to all those that were interested. And even those, maybe the Roman guards were not interested, but they couldn't leave his presence because they were chained to him. So Paul used that time to get to know the person and share the gospel with them. So even in the end of this epistle, Apostle Paul says, greet the whole household of Caesar in Philippians 4:22. It seems, how could he have known the household of Caesar unless he was influenced by being there with those Roman guards and having this influence and sharing about the gospel? And the how can our difficulties advance God's kingdom? The third is when our boldness in the gospel encourages others to also be bold and to be courageous. So if we look at verse 14, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So Paul's courage encouraged others to be more bold and more confident. And the exact opposite can also take place. If somebody is really critical or really negative, it will also affect those around us. And people around us might become very negative. So his imprisonment caused most of his brethren to be confident and to preach the word of God. And they saw that Paul was free to preach even though he was chained in the prison. If we look at Acts verse 28, the last few verses, verse 30 and 31, it actually describes what Paul was going through when he was writing this epistle. The last few verses of Acts 28, 30. Then Paul dwelt two whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with confidence, with all confidence, not and no one forbidding him. So we see that even the Roman guards, they did not forbid him because they saw he was confident in what he believed. It was not something he was just raised in and something that he half-heartedly believed. This was his whole life. He devoted his whole life to the gospel, and that's why they knew that they could not stop him. So he was teaching everybody, all those who were around him, and they were speaking without fear. So the gospel was being spread even with his difficulties. That's why Paul was able to rejoice in his difficulties. The difficulties that we face oftentimes, maybe we do not expect them. They often come at times when we least expect them. So we should always learn to embrace them and see what God wants to teach us in difficult times. We have to understand that all the people around us, the church, was designed in a way that everybody goes through trials. So somebody might be just entering a trial, somebody might have just gone out of a trial, and somebody might be just entering into a trial in the future. So we have to always keep that in mind, that God always wants to work in us. God wants us to grow through these trials and difficulties so that we can spread the gospel just like Paul was spreading the gospel. So that's the first thing I would like to share. The second point is how our difficulties can reveal our priorities. How our difficulties can reveal our priorities. That's the next few verses. Let's look at verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. So we see here that the true priorities become known in difficult situations. So in the midst of trials and sufferings, you find out what is really important to you. Now, I would like to share, from a short episode from my life, just something that happened last week. It's very small compared to maybe something major. We all got the news last Saturday about the tragic death of our dear beloved brother, Alyosha. And that Saturday morning we were all distressed. We were all crying. We were all really worried about what happened, and we were sad for that whole situation. And then that same day, my daughter, she had a birthday party. The same day, so we had mixed feelings. So it was hard to have a birthday party when we got the news of this happening. So as I was taking pictures of my daughter, somehow the camera that I was holding fell out of my hands and went really hard on the ground, and it broke. And it was a really good, expensive camera. But at that moment, that camera that broke meant nothing to me. I didn't even worry about it. The camera broke, but what was really important was what was going on in our church and what was happening in that family. So that moment, the camera meant nothing, because all you need to do is buy another one with whatever money it counts. You can buy another camera. It's not a big deal, but you cannot replace a life. So if that happened maybe a month ago, maybe I would have been worried about that camera. Maybe I would have been disappointed, but at that moment, that's the true priorities come out in difficult times. And this is what the situation that Paul was talking about. When he was in prison, and he knew that there was people that were preaching from jealousy. They were spreading the gospel because they're saying, why is Paul the only one that can preach the gospel? And we know that they were preaching the correct gospel. They were teaching the right things, but they had the wrong motives. And that's what Paul talks about in the next few verses here. And in difficulties, Paul recognizes that some Christians had the wrong motives, and some Christians were controlled by envy and strife, and even by selfish ambitions. So we can make an assumption that these Christians that were talking about spreading the gospel but had wrong motives, they were not heretics. They were not false teachers. They were not adding anything to the gospel. Because if they were, Paul would have rebuked them right on the spot. He would have corrected them. He would have said, remember in other situations, he says, let him be accursed, let him be anathema, because he was really strong on false teaching. But in this situation, they were preaching the correct gospel, but with wrong motives. And that really hurt Paul, but he was rejoicing, because even though they were doing it out of the wrong motives, maybe so that they could be seen, noticed, but Paul was rejoicing because his ultimate goal was not his own well-being, not his own ego, but the spread of the gospel. That's what was truly important to Paul. So they were trying to add affliction to his bonds. They were trying to make his situation even worse. But Paul could not be discouraged, because his life was covered wholly in Christ Jesus. So the difficult situation they were in revealed their true motives. It revealed the motives of these Christians that had wrong motives. It also revealed that there were those that did preach with good motives, with proper motives. And it also revealed that Paul cared more about the spread of the gospel rather than his own reputation. Now, the word envy is used here. The word envy is jealousy. They were jealous, just like when we remember the story when Jesus was brought to Pilate, and it says Pilate knew they brought him because of envy, because they were envious of Jesus. They knew that Jesus didn't really do anything wrong, but they didn't love Jesus because more people were interested in going to listen to Jesus than the Pharisees. The same word is used, envy. And the second word he uses here is strife. And we see that there were Christians that were walking according, these were Christians that were walking according to the flesh. Now, Paul uses the same words together in another verse in 1 Corinthians. I would like to read those verses together. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 3 and 4, he uses the same words together, envy and strife, and he ties it into them being carnal, being fleshly. Let's read these verses together. For you are still carnal, for where there is envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? So these Christians, they were still carnal. They were still controlled by their flesh. The Apostle Paul's mind was controlled by the Spirit, and these Christians were still controlled by the flesh. That's why he doesn't really rebuke them. He just says that it's better if you have the right motives. That's why he encourages the former, the ones that were preaching from a pure motive. Those are the ones he really encourages. And we also have to keep in mind that the power of the gospel is not in the messenger, but in the message itself. The power is not in the messenger, but in the message. So even if these people maybe had a wrong heart, but they were saying the right things, and maybe somebody did hear it and really come to know Jesus and was saved, because we know the power is in the word of God, and God can use his word, and many people can become saved, even if the preacher maybe is not completely walking the way God wants him to. Because God works in all of our lives, and sometimes we do things that we regret, but God constantly is working in us to change us, to make us more like Christ. And Paul really wanted these Christians to be more like Jesus Christ. And I'm sure Paul was praying and encouraging these Christians to have the right motives. So the second thing I'd like to share is that difficulties reveal whether we are truly serving God out of love. And then we see in verse 17, it says, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. And we see that these in this verse here, that Paul was really encouraged that there were those that were truly committed and devoted to serving, to spread the gospel out of love, out of a pure motive, not from having the desire to be heard or to be noticed like the other Christians. So Paul gave credit to those who had pure motives in serving the Lord, because he could see that there were those who really cared for the gospel, for the spread of the gospel, and he encourages other Christians to serve God with a pure heart. And in James chapter 1, verse 2, this is the passage that talks about the trials that we face and what is the whole purpose of the trials. James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. God wants us to, our faith to grow. When we have different situations in our life, difficulties, when we have these evil situations that seem like there's nothing good that can come out of it, God uses that to grow us and to have us become more like Christ. And lastly, before we pray, the difficult situations reveal that Paul's ultimate goal was in preaching Christ, not himself. In verse 18, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. So Paul didn't despair when he heard that there was those that had wrong motives, because he didn't focus on them. He was focusing on the ones that were spreading the gospel, and he was focusing on the fact that the gospel was still being spread either way. Whether right motives or wrong ones, Paul rejoiced in the gospel, because that was his ultimate goal in life. Remember the verse where Paul says, for I determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. So the gospel was still being preached, and Paul was rejoiced in that, because his joy in life was to have people be saved. Let's look at another verse in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. This is where Apostle Paul talks about the fact that we shouldn't judge people's motives, because we do not know what's in somebody's heart. But God knows, and this is where Paul just says, God knows everything, and he will judge. So here it says, therefore, judge nothing, before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring light to the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. So Paul takes courage and joy in knowing that if you do something, and even if you're not noticed, but God notices and he will give you praise. And if you're doing something wrong, that we shouldn't be the ones judging them, but God will ultimately bring judgment upon them because God knows the motives of everybody's hearts. So Paul also says that the same thing ultimately that Jesus said when he was still walking on the earth. Remember, there was a situation where there was some disciples that were rebuking or casting out demons, and they weren't walking with Jesus. And Jesus says, do not forbid him, for he who is not against us is not is for us. He who is not against us is for us. So Jesus says, if somebody maybe is even in a different church, we shouldn't be against them because maybe they don't worship exactly like we do. We should look at the things that unite us together. So some Christians fight so much with each other just over minor differences that they do not notice how much similarities they have. Maybe we have 99% similarities and just 1% difference, and we focus on that 1%. Sometimes maybe somebody's in a different denomination, and maybe it's good that we have different churches, but we have so much in common, and we should rejoice that we are all in one big family, that we are ultimately serving the Lord, and that the differences should not divide us, but we should be united. Because Paul could have took an attitude of criticism and criticized these Christians, but he didn't. He said, I'm glad that the gospel is being spread, because criticism is very addictive. Once one person does it, more and more it will affect people negatively, because criticism of another ministry takes the attention away from me and puts it on the other person, because that way the other person looks bad and I don't look so bad at that moment. So we will be coming to a conclusion in this letter in today's study, and we have an opportunity to pray right now. Let's just focus on what Paul was trying to say to us here. We see how God really used a bad situation and turned it out into good. God can use any situation we have and turn it out into the good, because even in this situation, people thought, how could the gospel be preached in prison? But God even used that, and we know how the whole gospel spread like wildfire in Rome because Paul was so fired up about serving God. And we have to remember that Paul's joy wasn't in his circumstances, but it was in how he reacted, because he looked at life through the heavenly perspective. And he wasn't smiling in prison. He wasn't naive and just smiling all the time because he knew God. He was, a lot of times he was hurt, and maybe he didn't have a smile on his face, but we know that he, even though he might have been hurt by those people, but he wasn't negative, because he knew that his ultimate goal was to serve Christ. And he wasn't concerned about his reputation or his ministry or his happiness, because his ultimate goal was the gospel. So as we go out today and proclaim Christ, as we go out and as Eli read the verse where it says to contend for the faith, as we start, we go out and we're gonna be faced with a lot of difficulties. Let's focus on the joy that we can have as Christ. So in order to have the joy in the midst of difficulties, we must see them through the light of eternity, or through an eternal perspective, just like Joseph did. So I'd like to end the last verse from Genesis 50, verse 20. This is where Joseph talks to his brothers, and he says these great words here. Genesis 50, 20. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people's lives. So God can turn out a difficult situation into the glory of his name, because it all depends on our perspective. And also, as we continue to go through this epistle, we will notice that the word to mind or to remember comes up a lot in Paul's discussion. And he says that it's very important how we think, what we think about, that you must change your thinking so that you can experience the joy. Because the people, a lot of people are thinking about fleshly things, so they were acting in the flesh. But Paul was thinking about eternal things, and he was acting in the spirit. May the name of the Lord be blessed. Amen. Let's pray together.